Welcome to Creating Cash Flow for March 19th, 2023. Lydia, her side biz is the less creative side of voiceover, e-learning, corporate narration, telephony, all that good stuff. And you have a victory. Your mindset around narrowing down a focus has shifted a lot. You're not trying to do all the things all at once. Love it. I've also started really looking at how to order my projects so I build momentum off of each step. That feels great. I'm glad to hear it.
Yay. I have another victory if I can.
Yes, please.
Aside from side business, I applied to two like jobs that are absolutely perfect for me. And they pay a lot of money. Like there was two jobs for one company, and one was like a lower paying, like a 50K a year that I didn't really fit. And then the other one was this other job that was like 130K a year. And I didn't initially want to apply for the higher paying one, even though my skills fit, because I was like, oh, I'm not worth that amount of money. So I started filling out everything for the lower paying one, even though it wasn't quite the right fit. And then they needed a portfolio in that exact thing. And I was like, I don't have that. I guess I'll apply for this other one. And I applied for it and don't know what'll come with it, if anything, but it was just really cool to be like, wait, my skills are absolutely worth a lot of money rather than like undervaluing them.
Can we talk just for a minute about this? Because I think it's so important. And, you know, every time you hear any sort of anybody give a lecture about women in the workplace and all of this stuff, it's such a very common thing where men, if they hit like 50% of the criteria, they're like, oh yeah, that job's for me. And women are like, well, there's 2% that I don't fulfill. So what was behind that thinking, that initial thinking for you of just like, oh, ooh, that's not for me?
It has a very fancy title. It's like director of or creative director of video production. And as a producer, I've led tons of like independent teams, but I've never like worked at a full scale company in that way. And so even though I technically checked off everything they were looking for, including years of experience, I was like, they're not gonna want someone like me who, yeah, period.
And then how did you make that shift? Because it sounds like it shifted in your brain.
It did. It was a few things. Helen Highfield, another person in our community, I was telling her about this, and she was like, Lydia, there are a bunch of mediocre white men who are filling out this job that they are so unqualified for. For feminism, you have to apply for this. And then I was talking to a good friend of mine who's an executive recruiter at a visual effects company. And he was like, I was like, I don't know if I'm qualified for that kind of pay. And he was like, it's not about whether you think you're qualified for that pay rate. You have the skills that they are looking for. They attached a number that they deem for the job. If you have the skills for the job, then you are worthy of that amount.
Right. Here's what I want to say, and I've said this on a previous call, but I don't think it can be said enough. Very often when you're applying for jobs, you can have this reaction of like, oh, that's a lot of money for little old me and my skill set. That money is not about the worth of the person in the position. That money is reflected of the pie as a whole. The pie brings in this much money. So the piece that this person is going to get isn't because we need someone who's going to earn $130,000 a year. No, this piece of the pie, reflective of the whole amount of the pie, is a $130,000 slice of the pie. If the pie was worth less, it would be a 60,000 slice of that pie. If the pie was worth more, it might be more. Mm-hmm. But it's relative to the pie, much, much more so than, well, we're looking for a candidate who's worth 130, who could earn 130. No, they want somebody who's going to contribute to the bottom line more than $130,000. But you, the person, don't necessarily have to figure out how you're going to make that contribution. They're just like, slip into our system, use your skills, work within our system. And we probably think that whatever you contribute will be more than 130. So you get 130, because that's the pie that we're all eating from. Does that make it feel a little less?
Yeah. Yes.
Personal?
Yes. I never thought of it that way, but yeah. Fine.
Yeah. Like the cast of Friends are awesome. They all make us laugh. But the only reason their slice of the pie could be negotiated to $1 million per episode was because the whole pie was earning probably $200 million per episode, or maybe less, but still a large pie. It grew to a large. So their pie piece was definitely like, you know, okay, that makes sense. $1 million an episode. But it wasn't like Jennifer Aniston suddenly became a better actor in those episodes than in the other episodes. It's not like, oh, she's now worth $1 million an episode. No, it was just part, the pie made sense that way. So you always have to take that into consideration. And same when you're asking for a raise or negotiating a rate. It's not about like, oh, do you think I'm worth it? It's like, no, what kind of pie are we talking about? And what should my slice be? Because Peter over there is eating the same slice as I am. And Peter's getting more money to eat that slice. And we know he's, you know, a dickhead. So, you know, just kidding, Peter. But you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not that personal.
Mm.
I'm so happy that you were able to make that shift in your brain.
Yeah.
With, you know, help, but you did it.
Yeah. It felt relevant, even if it didn't feel like the jobs themselves actually mattered, but learning to value my skills and my time, whether those go or whether it's like building the e-learning business that it's like, no, my skills are absolutely valuable. That felt like the really important bit.
Yeah. You're not getting paid for your time. You're getting paid for how you as a whole person with all your skills and strengths can contribute to creating value. Mm-hmm. Whether that takes you an hour or 15 minutes, doesn't matter. The value is the value. So this is really great. I want you to remember that if you get an interview. And just, I think last session or very close, we talked about how to, you know, position your brain for the interview. Mm-hmm. So you can go back and listen to that. And then I think it was like 2 years ago, around November through February, I had a series of conversations with Sarah in Side Cash Flow where we're talking about negotiation and getting raises and getting jobs and all of that stuff. So yeah. Ooh, that's very exciting. I'm glad you applied, because you never know. And the whole application process could have been just so you built a little stronger muscle in this area. Great. So your question was, you have done a lot of research. You have listened to this and listened to that and listened to this, and you start working on your mind. That's great. That's great. And you know that you can kind of stay in that groove of like gathering information and not ever switching over to like implementing what you're gathering. And so you are looking at the e-learning stuff. You know that, you know, eventually if you do try to build that up to be a significant source of income, you'll need a demo in that area. And you would also want to get a little bit of coaching to make sure you're up to par. And so your demo's up to par. That all makes sense. Going that route, though, would be more money up front. And you'd be able to reach out to funnel clients, most of whom would require a demo. But then I wonder if that's putting the cart before the horse and if I should instead focus on recording some quick samples to put on voiceover platforms. Would that be faster, less investment up front? What makes more sense? Is there an alternative? It's sort of like, how do I get these e-learning clients without necessarily forking over the $1,000+ to create a demo?
Yeah, for that? I'm not opposed. I'm all for like making a great demo. The ones that I made in commercial voiceover, like it's already paid for itself. Mm-hmm. So I guess my worry is, am I like, because I would want to get a little bit of coaching, like just a couple to make sure I'm doing the genre properly. But if I'm going that route, is that too like continuing just researching and not really taking action, if that makes sense, versus like quickly recording samples, if that makes sense?
Yeah. So what you're looking for is someone to evaluate you to make sure you're competitive. Mm-hmm. You need to feel, I can do this. Like, I don't have any like doubts that I can do it. So instead of connecting with a coach and then coaching and then sort of seeing if you feel good, why don't you record some samples, pay a coach for a half hour of their time, mm-hmm. someone who can actually evaluate the demos. In e-learning, I mean, the samples that you give them and go, what do you think about these? What would you do differently? What do you sense, any ticks that I have, any bad habits I have that need to be cleaned up in order to enter this marketplace?
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. So that will save you time. Because a coach might want to be like, okay, let's start from scratch and let me build you up into my, it's like, maybe you don't need that.
Yeah.
You know, and you want to find a coach and say, here's what I want from you. I want to give you some samples and then I want you to like critique. Let me know if there's any bad habits. Let me like really, how do you think I stack up in the marketplace? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You want to be very clear on what you want. And then you want to see if that coach goes, oh, sure, I'll totally do that for you, versus handing your samples over to somebody who goes, oh yeah, like you're almost there. We should coach on that. And doesn't, you're paying for the actual information from them, not whether or not you need coaching.
Those
are two different things. Here's my professional evaluation of your skill set and where you're at and what habits you have that aren't good. Okay. Versus, do I need coaching?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the answer is yes. And then you'd have to invest in doing that.
That makes sense.
Want to find somebody who, and this is for everybody listening, when you're asking for something from someone, be crystal clear of exactly what you want from them. Because it's so easy to be like, I'll pay you to evaluate. And their evaluation is you need some coaching. You still don't know anything about where you stand in the marketplace. Just ask for exactly what you want. And then that person can say, no, I'm not gonna, that's not how I roll. That's not how I do it. You'll find somebody who's like, sure, I'll totally take your money and tell you exactly what I think. Yeah. And you want to find somebody who coaches on that specifically, is intimate with that sector of the business, not just general voiceover? Do you have somebody?
I found three people who like fit that perfectly.
Okay. Great. And
I'm sure there's more, but they were the ones I was drawn to.
No, that's great. So go to them. And what I would do is pick one, ask if they say yes, see what they say before going to the other two, because maybe that one will be like, okay, great, I get it. And then if you want a second opinion, maybe go to someone else. And then if those two tell you the opposite, then you go to a third. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. So then you will have a better idea. And then let's say they say, those are great. You are great. The samples are fine. Then could you just put the samples up or make like a little demo for yourself kind of thing?
I could. Certainly for like, I would feel confident with that for like the voiceover platforms that there are. I'd be nervous for the like funnel clients or the people who like definitely do the higher quality of those jobs, kind of reaching out like that. But it's not, I mean, I know a good deal about audio editing. And
I'm just wondering, okay, so if your person and you agree, you can totally do this in the competitive marketplace, great. Then what do you want to do? Would you then want to cut a demo for it? Or would you first kind of want to see if you actually liked doing it? Or like, what do you, there's no right way. It's just where you want to go.
I don't know. And I think that's part of been why I've just been like treading water on this versus like taking crystal clear action, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. And if you put them up on the voiceover sites, do you think you might get some bites and clients there enough to earn enough money to then go cut the demo?
Yeah, that's a possibility, especially because those sites work off of like an algorithm that the more like specific samples you have, the more likely you are to match with a project, the more likely you are to get an audition for the project. So it would increase my ability to like show up on those things.
Yeah. And if you feel you can make samples that kind of sound like other people's samples, like it's not, you know, you're not out on the street recording it with, you know, traffic noises behind you. So if your samples sort of sound audio quality wise, like their samples, and if you get a job, you're able to produce what the client would want,
for sure,
then that's one way to start that ball rolling and see if you get bites and kind of test the water without having to fork over for the demo.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That going through those steps of action, it's not going to be a waste of time. You're only going to come out stronger and more experienced for having done those things. Mm-hmm. So if you're looking to conserve money or have this pay for itself kind of thing, do that.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And so what you want to do, because your bigger question was sort of like, I love learning. I'm really good at it, but I can get stuck over here at the gathering information. How do I make sure I'm shifting into taking action? Have a little meeting with yourself once a week and go, what do I need to do this week to move this part of my thing business forward, this aspect? What do I need to do in this side business thing? Do I need to do anything for job applications? Like, and you decide in advance, okay, I'm going to do this thing and this thing, and I'm going to do this one. You pick your actions. And then during your week, as you have time, as your week changes, you just try to knock those off the list. And you don't want to do too many to-dos because you want to have the joy at the end of the week of being like, nailed it, did it, knocked those. I'd rather you check three things off three things that move the needle than 50 things that don't, but you just got a lot done.
Yeah.
Because you pushed yourself, you know?
I definitely have that tendency. I'm like, I'm going to get all the things and then burn out. And yeah.
And with a side business, what you're always asking yourself is, what is the things I can do that's closest to the money? So making samples and putting them up on a voiceover site to test that, what that's closer to the money. Because you get the demo is in between you and then reaching out to the people and the money. It's just farther along. Better money. Yeah. When you're ready for it, sure. But how can we make you some money in the fastest way possible? That's all.
Yeah. I love that.
Okay. Awesome. These were really good questions, Lydia. You grew a lot in just the last couple of days. You made some significant shifts up here.
Thank you so much. I love, it was between, I think, the mindset call on Friday that like started the gear shifting about like, oh wait, it doesn't, there's other things, possibilities. And like, I think you, it was the call, you, the conversation with Ashley, where you were talking about like more money and how that doesn't have to be scary. And that started like my gears turning. So thank you so much.
You're so welcome. And I'm really excited. I'm really interested in this job thing and see. And then, so here's the other thing. If you're like, God, that's a really good fit for me. Yes, go through whatever they want you to go through, but then see, does anybody you know anybody at that company? And like, is there any way just to introduce yourself? Like, hi, I just wanted to put a face and a name to the resume. Can you send a video in, you know, just to kind of, because so often the piles of resumes are now read by computers, not people. And it's harder for people to say no to people, and they get a better, quicker read on your energy of like, oh, really? Yeah, I like her. You know, so it might, it's just everyone's going through the front door for that job. Can you get in a side window or go through the back door or wave through the back window? Like, set yourself apart.
Yeah. My recruiter friend so lovely offered to like do on his end some digging to figure out who the hiring.
Yes. That is what I'm talking about.
Yeah. So
that's what I'm talking about.
On their names.
Mm-hmm. And then what you do is you go. And there's a site, I think there's many of these, but one's called Boomerang or something, but it enables you to film a little video, but you could also probably do this. You film a video, like let's say the person's name's Harriet, and you take a little piece of paper, a little post-it, you write, hi, Harriet. And you film this video, and then it makes a little GIF of you doing that. And then you put that GIF in the email. So Harriet opens her email and there's this woman with a little card saying, hi, Harriet. It makes her be like, oh, there's a video that's for me, apparently. And then like, I know you're getting a lot of people. I just wanted to put a face with the name. I'm so excited. I think I might be a really good fit. Like literally under a minute. And then the subject line says like 32 second hello.
Oh, I love that.
32 seconds and a smile. Okay. 32 seconds. I have 32 seconds. And then, you know, it's a curiosity subject line that makes me, well, what's this? Or if you actually had someone that Harriet would know, you would put 32 seconds parentheses via Margaret, blah, blah, blah. So then she would open it because of Margaret's name and 32 seconds. Cause you know, we all have 32 seconds. It's yes. So
and not time consuming.
Right. So you, if you know how to just make a GIF, you can film your own little video, but this whole thing just kind of does it all for you. Boomerang is one, but there's other ones.
Oh, so cool. I'll look into that.
Yeah. Personalized video email. I think if you Google that.
Well, do.
Good. Awesome.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Hello, everyone who has joined us. The floor is open. I'm here. Help in any way I can. Hello, Trisha.
Hey, Christine.
Hi.
I wanted to talk just more to get out of my own blahness. I feel really unmotivated to take any sorts of action towards bringing money in. And I feel guilty about that. And so I just wanted to kind of say it and come clean.
I'm sure no one else could relate ever. Yeah. So do you have any sense of why the malaise has kind of hit?
I think it's partly like March in New York City. I just feel like winter is 8 months long. My boyfriend is getting ready to direct his first film. And he also wrote the screenplay and he wrote a part for me in it. And it's not totally clear that the executive producer is going to allow me to play the role. Lead is out to an A-list actress, and I would play her best friend. And I've met the executive producer. I went to her house. I've spent time with her family, the whole thing. But I think it feels like this holding pattern, and I feel sort of out, like no control over that. So there's a little sort of blueness over that. I made a self tape because she released the role in the breakdown. So I was like, let me make a self tape for good measure. And I did that. But I don't know. I just feel, and like, you know, my boyfriend's in the thick of it. So I haven't seen him in a week. So I think everything just feels like blah.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and I'm sensing that this is a time to be extra kind to yourself, or are you feeling this is a time to kind of like light a little fire under your bum?
Maybe kindness.
Yeah. Yeah. You strike me in all the conversations that we've had as someone who knows how to do things. You're a very self-motivated person. So when people like that fall into either a foggy patch or this is more of a malaise kind of patch, it's not because they've lost their superpower of self-motivation. It's that something is off kilter. At my age, it can be hormones. You know, it can be lots of things. And sometimes it's just like, yeah. And sometimes it's not like, it's not going to move the needle either way, pushing yourself through it. Whatever you do, you'll do with twice the effort. Instead of just being like, yeah, this is a little limbo period and I'm feeling it. And you've been doing a lot of work too. And what would be the way you'd like to kindly move through the next week?
Maybe just being in the moment as much as possible. I do have, you know, I have personal training clients lined up, and I'm teaching a class at the Barrow Group, a class of actors. So maybe just letting whatever's on my schedule be enough for right now, and just showing up fully to those things.
Yeah. Doing your next week softly. Try just to, like you said, this is already going to be scheduled. I'm already going to show up for all of this stuff. I'm just going to be very attentive to the texture of it and have the week be a soft week. And are you needing to generate money like before the end of the month or something like that? Is there?
No, I have money. I mean, thank God for this program. I have money left over from a commercial that I did last year that I probably would have been like, woo, had it not been for this program. So even though I am I'm not making the amount that I need for my expenses, I have that savings. So there's not, I'm not sort of bleeding money at the moment. I don't feel like, yeah, I'm just not, I'm not on par, you know, like.
Yeah, not yet.
Yeah.
So here's what I would say, because very often, especially with self-motivated people, when they get into a little limbo period or fog or malaise, they're like, oh God, what if I never get out of this? What if I never get off the couch again? You will. And so here's what I recommend usually is be kind to yourself, be soft through this week, see how you feel at the end of the week, and then notice the next week when you start to feel, if you start to feel, oh, this is going on like too long. Like this is now something else. Do you know what I mean? The reason it's, this isn't going, the reason you can afford this week of softness is because it's not going to go on for 6 weeks. And the reason it's not going to go on for 6 weeks is because you're going to notice when it's going on too long. And I would probably say, if you're feeling completely like unmotivated by the end of March, then you probably need someone to help you really unpack this or to help you gently get back into the swing of things, because you're not being able to do that yourself for some reason. But you don't have to worry about that now, because it could very well be that if you were gentle and soft with yourself for a week, you might feel then the inspiration to start doing stuff again, naturally come back. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Some space open in my chest. Thank you.
Yeah. And it's, there's a lot mixed into this. You know, feeling rejected, feeling out of control. It's like, what the fuck? He wrote it, he's directing it, and still there's obstacles between me getting like this side part. Like, this industry can be so frustrating. So there's a lot mixed in there. And it could also be like, but you want to be part of this very special project in the life of someone that you also are so connected to. And that could be like, oh, I don't get to attend that party. It was going to be a fun party. Yeah. So there's a lie here. And I think you are just, it's just, you're sitting with it and processing it. And the worst thing you could do is like, nope, it's not, I'm just going to go do the business as usual. Like, no, feel it for a week and very gently take yourself through. And then by the time we see each other again in April, we can turn this around too. If you're like, I don't know what's going on, this is too long. Oh yeah, that's not a problem. So I'm not worried about you. And I think that you're already guiding yourself through what is probably the best course of action. Thank you for being so generous to share yourself as is. Because I am a good girl and I like to show up, you know, with the homework done and everything, you know, and sometimes the biggest impact is just like, oh, I'm humaning right now real hard. And it gives everybody else permission to be like, oh yeah, 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 yeah. Because I have been where you are. That's why I can recognize it. Oh yeah, many, many times. And many times in the future, I'm sure. Yeah, yeah. Thank you, Patricia. Do you feel complete on that?
I do, yeah. Okay. Thank you so much.
You're You're welcome. Anybody else? Yes. Okay. We'll do Sarah, then Helen. Hi.
Tricia, I can totally relate to the feeling of malaise. Also, I've been sick this week too, but you know, I felt so motivated last week when I was like, I'm going to start this side hustle. I'm a kitten. I'm going to start going, you know, like doing commercial auditions, theatrical auditions, like short auditions. And then I am in the middle of like questioning it all because my husband runs his own business too, but I've gotten a lot of ideas from your, the cash flow program for his business instead. So he's like, well, why don't you just help me with my business? And so our family income can increase. Then you won't have to start your own business on top of writing and acting and blah, blah, blah. And which actually makes a lot of sense. And it feels like, it feels good to do that. But I'm also struggling with this voice like, oh, you're not doing the thing that you said you were going to be doing last week. And yeah, I don't know. I'm just tired this week and I don't really know which voice to follow, I guess. So I'm kind of feeling paralyzed. but commercials have been picking up, which have usually been my bread and butter for like the past 6 years, but it's just been really slow. And so, you know, reading Big Magic with Gilbert was like, don't let your, you know, just don't let your creativity be the thing that supports you. But it has been, and then all of a sudden it isn't. So, but I'm really like focusing on writing, and I've given myself until August to just write and try and pitch a project. And I found this coach that I'm really interested in working with and who I did a commercial with a while ago. Yeah. And, so things are moving in this direction, and it feels weird to like, okay, I'm going to start my side hustle on top of it. Or it feels easier to, I don't know, I guess I'm just looking for mission. I don't really know what I'm doing.
Yeah, finish the sentence. It feels easier to.
It feels easier to help my husband with his business because he's been doing it for a long time and I have strengths that he doesn't. And I know what I can help to bring his business up to the next level. And like, all his clients have been on him like, hey, wait, why don't you do this? Why don't you do this? But he's just been running his business the way he's been running his business. And he's an acupuncturist and he works at a place. And so there's just like, I've gotten so many ideas from the cash flow program to help run his business in a more efficient way.
What's your relationship with easy?
I'm not allowed. It's not allowed to be easy.
I guess. Yeah.
Because if it is, then you know.
Yeah. Then you can feel guilty, which feels great always. Yeah. Easy. I would go with the voice nudging you towards what feels a little easier. Mm-hmm. And then you will need a response to the voice that pipes up and is like, Sarah, mm-hmm. You can do this. You were just outlining your side business. Go do that. So what is your response to that?
I think the thing that comes to mind is like, look, I can do one less thing right now. Like financially, it is possible for me to help him and see where that goes. Mm-hmm. So it's not like I have to create income by the end of this month or whatever. Like, so I think the answer is like, it's because I choose to want to invest in my husband's business and try it. So hold off, give me some time and space before you start freaking out.
Yeah. Here's a summation of what you just said. Oh my God. Oh yeah. I can feel that you're really scared of easy. But I've got this. I think it's going to work for us. Because this voice is just scared of easy. It thinks easy is going to make you explode and die. So it's telling you, don't do it. Come back in the cave. Let's make it complicated. Because if it's complicated, you can hide and do like all these other steps before like, or whatever.
Totally. Like it'll just take longer, whatever. Yeah.
And so it's like, oh, sweetie, you're afraid of easy. That's okay. Good news. You're going to totally get used to it. That's a great story. And this voice will keep coming back.
Yeah,
if you keep meeting it with the exact same story, oh, sweetie, you're scared. Then it will just be like, but, and you'll be like, ah, and you won't even have to have the conversation because it'll go, oh, I know what you're going to say. You're going to say the whole thing about the easy thing. Yeah. Ah. That's what you want your conversations with your voice to be. That's it. You know how you're a mom, you know, it's like, you get it down to a glance. Once your kids are like four, they know, they've heard it.
They
get it. Yeah. So that's what you want to do with this voice.
Yeah, it's been dominating for a while, but yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah. I am thrilled with that idea. I think I can hear it in your voice.
Oh.
I'm just like, oh my God, ideas. And it's like, yeah, run down that road for a while. Let's see what happens. That sounds great. So, however, we need to keep that as your side thing.
Side.
And you're brilliant and have lots of ideas. And it would be so easy to just be like, I will morph myself into your business and do this. Because you need time to write. You're going to fit the commercials and the auditions in because that's money.
Mm-hmm.
And you will fit this stuff in for your husband because that's also money.
Mm-hmm.
The writing isn't money yet.
Not yet.
But that's what you want to really be doing. So what I would suggest is figuring out three pieces of time each week and how much is going to go for each piece towards your husband's business. One piece is you thinking, researching, coming up with like your little plans. The second thing is meeting with him and clarifying on like, okay, so here's my ideas. What should I do this week?
Mm-hmm.
And then you actually doing the execution.
Yeah.
So each week, it's like you're planning,
mm-hmm.
you and your husband are deciding, and then you are executing. Yeah. Planning, yeah. Deciding, executing.
Okay.
And you just put a little bit of time, whatever you can afford to have towards this, but there's a cap on it.
Okay.
2 hours, 2 hours, 2 hours. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Probably not 2 hours for the deciding.
Yeah.
Like a 1 hour meeting maximum per week, maybe 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And then executing will have more time, but that's your cap. So you decide, am I going to do 8 hours? Am I going to do 6 hours? What am I going to do?
Mm-hmm.
And then you have whatever comes for commercials during that week or acting.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have writing time.
Yeah. Okay.
And your writing time will expand and contract based on the acting activity.
Oh. Okay.
But the side husband business activity is always kept in its own container. It doesn't expand just because the acting isn't filling your calendar. That is capped.
Okay.
The writing time gets extra if the acting time to get, you know.
Okay. Oh my God. It just makes me feel so much clearer on like, because I, you know, it just got a little confusing and everything. But yeah, it makes so much sense. Like, yes, I can make it a part-time job and put in, you know, whatever, 5 to 8 hours a week. Because that's what I was originally looking to do anyway. Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, it feels very doable.
I think it makes total sense. Yeah, because you'll be using your strengths.
Yeah.
And you don't have to worry about infrastructure. Yeah. You literally just are adding fuel to a fire.
Yeah, totally.
And it's family income. So it's just so great.
Yeah.
Love it. Love it. Love it.
My husband was like, I really could use your help. And I was like, oh, okay.
But what will help you both
mm-hmm.
is that meeting, because it, you don't want to be talking about this over the dinner table.
Right.
Or in bed at night.
Right.
This needs to be formalized,
yes,
so it can be contained.
Okay,
and the decision maker mm-hmm. is ultimately him. Mm-hmm. You're the consultant advisor
okay.
and executor,
okay.
and he is deciding. Okay. So it's his thing, his business. You're throwing fuel on the fire, but you don't have to think of it 24 hours a day. It's contained. So you're the consultant that he gets access to for this many hours a week.
Okay.
And you, part of your consultancy is actual execution of tasks as well.
Yeah.
Awesome. Oh, I'm very excited. Get well soon so we can get on this because it's exciting me. Yeah. Thanks for letting me know about that.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Helen.
Thank you everyone for how you've shown up today. And I'm definitely feeling permission to show up as is, which I need to practice. I don't know that I have a question. I think I just kind of want to like put on the record where I'm at right now.
Yes.
Which is I cry at everything, so I'll probably cry.
Oh, me too.
And I'm exhausted. But Lydia and I worked together on Friday to apply to these jobs, and I applied to one too. I don't know. I missed the first couple of minutes of this.
She totally sang your praises, by the way. She said you were instrumental in shifting her brain.
Yeah, same with her. We helped each other quite a bit. It was great. Yeah, I don't know. I went through a lot of big personal growth this past year, and big personal changes, and believing in astrology now and whatever. Today's the last year of the astrological, whatever. That we got to cry it all out. Pisces, water, blah. But. I'm very much feeling this feeling of like, ooh, starting this week. Now I start the new chapter. It is so scary. And applying for the job was very empowering in the moment. I'm very glad that I did. Because I started to talk myself out of it. And then I was like, nope, I need to just for the exercise of it, I need to like walk myself all the way through. And I can kind of enjoy the puzzle of like, what are you looking for? What do I have? How can I make it, you know, sell you on it? That's like, it's kind of fun actually when I get into it. But part of the getting spooked is I'm like, I cry at change. Change makes me freak out. I mean, the more neutral sentence that I've been saying to myself is like, my nervous system has a strong reaction to change. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to do that, but I've known that I need to earn more money more steadily for a while. And I have been kind of piecing together things, and I'm interested in a lot, and I have high expectations of myself in a lot of areas. And when I'm tired physically, it is easy to fall into just the overwhelm of like, there are so many things that need my attention, that need decisions, that need time allocated, that need care around, that need maintenance, that need building. And like, you know, I'm finding workarounds with, you know, accountability buddies and you know, scheduling, and I can do some of that. But I'm also trying to write more, because that feels like a thing that I was like, oh, this chapter's over. And now that I can finally, I don't have the excuse of that. I need to actually look at the writing. I have, you know, acting and that, I have my kind of interior design general interest, maybe make that into a side hustle. That feels overwhelming. I had yet another dude client who's like, help me with my apartment. And I'm like, oh God. And I'm like bad at, I'm working on boundaries with that. I actually do feel like I have a fresh revelation around that, because I think for a while I'm like freshly single, and it was like a way for dudes to like flirt with me, be like, help me with my apartment. And I'm like, I also want the attention. So now asking you for money feels weird. but I'm feeling more freshly like, don't need the attention. I'll take the money. Thank you. But building a business and figuring that out feels like a big chunk of energy. You know, finally following through on writing is a big chunk of energy. Applying to jobs is a chunk of energy. And then God forbid I get one of them that like completely changes my schedule and everything is, you know, and I've gotten some like weird kind of sense of permission from a casting director who I took a class with, who was like, listen, this is the year to do like theater, to do literally anything other than acting if you want to, because like this is just going to continue to be a weird year with like pilot season was weird, there's probably going to be a strike, there might be multiple strikes, like it's going to be weird. And that was kind of nice to go like, oh okay, well then maybe I go earn money, but now I have to go earn money. So that's the mess that I'm sitting in. It's on the record.
Thank you for putting it all out there. And you described it quite, that was an accurate assessment. A lot of details, a lot of moving parts. Yeah. When you're self-starting in almost every aspect of your life. And then if you do get a job, well, what does that mean then? Like, how can you fit things around that? And And I know that we have talked about your design business thing, but I just want to talk about a smidge more. Okay. What is an obscene amount of money that if someone just paid you for a consultation, whatever hour, 3 hours, I don't know, that you'd be like, yeah, that sounds great.
An obscene amount of money?
Well, I'm pushing you a little bit. Like, where it's like, I'll do it if you pay me this much money. That would make you feel great.
I mean, I think I would probably do it for hundreds, but my brain is actually going like, no, thousands. Like, I want thousands. It mostly because what I've learned so far is that it's not like breaking it down by hour. It the hourly rate drops quickly.
Yeah.
And because I think the like big chunk of change, here's thousands of dollars, would make me kind of excited to show up to it in a at a higher standard or something. To kind of match it. Or I guess there's even the version of like, if they're like, here's my budget, including buying the stuff, I want to pay, you know, a couple thousand dollars. And it's like, I get to keep whatever isn't spent. I don't know.
No.
You can do that.
How many thousands do you want to bring on a new client?
It just so depends on the scope of work.
No. We're not going to look at it like that, because that is difficult in that, like, as an organizer, the big question everyone has, well, how long is it going to take us? Well, I have no idea. What's your speed? I can do this if you left me alone, I could do this in the way I'd want to do it. But if I have to work with you, it's going to be a lot slower. And who knows what we're going to find, and who, you know, it's like plumbing.
And how many stories they have to tell about everything.
Exactly. And once you open up the wall, it's like, well, now we got to replace this and this and that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm talking about, we're not even talking about what you're going to do for this amount of money. I want to know what amount of money would release you from the sticky weirdness that you're feeling around doing that activity for this particular clientele. Yeah. It's like, I want someone who's fucking serious and who's not trying to date me necessarily. We'll see where that goes, but we're doing business first,
right?
Business before the monkey business, you know? So what do you want?
I think to start, I would want $2,000.
Okay. So every new client, it's just base $2,000. And the $2,000 is for what? We're going to have a discussion. I'm going to lead you down this path.
Yeah.
I'll give you some links so you can go buy some stuff.
Right. There'll be like a certain amount of access to my brain.
Yeah. And then when you've got it all arranged, I'll come in and probably rearrange it or tweak it.
Yeah.
And then if you need more, you can buy more.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because if you get a job and then you get people going, oh, can you do this for me? I want it to be for an amount of money where you're like, yeah, I'll do that for you.
Right.
Because $2,000 a month, that's not too shabby.
Right. Yeah. Cause so far it's been people being like, what's your rate? And I'm like,
yeah, it's $2,000. It's $2,000 to onboard you as a new client. We will have a discussion. You can have access to me. You will buy some things. You will arrange them and I'll probably rearrange them. Five steps.
Yeah.
And you're not talking time
right
yet. It's like, can you afford that? Do you want this thing? We talk, you buy, you ask advice, you arrange, I tweak.
Yeah.
And we're going to do this within 4 weeks or whatever you want. Just so there's a container. So it's not like 18 months later.
Right.
Like you want to do this and you can afford me and you want the end product not to be ridiculous.
Right.
Let's face it. You're a guy.
Yeah. There's some really terrible choices that they make.
Yeah. And this, I know you have this part of your personality. I can just hear it, but it's almost like you can be a little bit of a character in this business. It's like, I don't need to work with you. It's $2,000. We do these five things in 5 weeks.
Yeah.
You want to do it. And here's the thing. Your clients, the clients you want, are clients whose problem isn't money. Their problem is they're afraid their place is going to look ridiculous when a significant other walks in the room or friends from work who judge them. You know, these are someone who wants to put on a nice
pillow.
And money is not their problem. They have $2,000. What they don't have is access to you and someone like you to guide them.
Right.
$2,000 is going to be to them. The client you want is someone like, oh my God, I thought it was going to be five. Two sounds like great.
I have no idea where those people are.
Yeah. Yeah. But you know what will attract them to you? Okay. You asking for $2,000.
Okay.
Suddenly it'll start weeding out those people. And then the more you just talk about the fact that you love doing this and you know, do it and you think, boy, is this needed in the market? Because, you know, guys, they try. And it's not just guys. It's just, you know, people who don't have that design sensibility. And who are nervous that their lack of design sensibility will be on display. I'm one of those people. I don't really have a design. I have functionality. I can make your house functional, but look good? No. I had to get somebody to help me with what you see here right now.
I remember you talking about that. It looks
great. I don't, yeah. But it's important to me.
Yeah.
So I got the help. But you need to just start telling people that, oh, I help people who really want their space to feel good and look good. And they know they can't get there on their own. That's the one sentence you need to keep saying over and over. So what do you do? Oh, I'm an actress and, you know, I'm an actor and I'm a writer. And then on the side, I love helping people who want a space that feels good. And more importantly, looks good and know that they can't get there on their own. So I help them. Oh, really? How do you help them? Oh, we do 5 things in 5 weeks. Really? What is it? We do this, this, this is what happens. Oh my God. How much is that? $2,000.
Yeah.
You practice what you need to walk around the house saying that boom, 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 5 things, this thing, this, how much it is. Dun, 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 dun. And then it's like, okay, can I talk about this enough? And when I say talk about it, it means all your friends need to know. Yeah. You need to send an email out. Hey guys, if you know someone who wants an environment that feels good, but more importantly, looks good and knows they can't get there on their own, mm-hmm. I can help them. I do these 5 things. We do it in 5 weeks. It's $2,000. If someone, you know, I take like maybe a client every once in a while, let me know.
Yeah.
I want you to have an attitude about this. Like, ah, yeah, I work with people, you know, when I can fit them in.
Like, we got, yeah.
Yeah. This and if so- I want you to be able to talk about this enough, so you get one person a month.
Yeah.
Or one person every 5 weeks. You work with one client at a time and you just get an extra $2,000 and then eventually $2,500 and then eventually $3,000 and then eventually $3,500 and eventually it'll be $5,000, 5 things, 5 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I'm just clocking that this is a much more abundant, obviously mindset and phrasing than something that I literally said to somebody last night, which was like, yeah, I'll just take whatever job anybody gives me.
Yeah. This is the shift that the planets are aligning for you to make.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I like that sentence you came up with. It's very neutral. It's like, oh, this is what my nervous system does when I go through a shift. Because it is, probably is. You transition with tears. Congratulations. Who cares? And do it. And I'm glad you allow yourself to cry.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's just your wiring.
Yeah.
And it only helps you as an actor. So bonus.
Yeah.
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 And I have this sense that you feel that this is going to be a nice chapter you're transitioning into.
Oh, for sure.
I sense you're not scared. I sense you're just transitioning. And this is what it seems to feel like for you at this time in your life.
Yeah.
So that's your business. You never literally need to say more words than what we just talked about.
Okay.
So all you have to do is give yourself a metric of like, I need to say that 7 times each week. It can be 7 times in one day, but it needs to come out of my mouth or in an email or on a post somewhere. I just need to keep saying it.
Yeah.
And then let my little marketing minions pass the word around.
Yeah.
So this week or next week, whenever you feel like the planets are locked in your favor, send out that email.
Yeah. Okay.
To everybody you know.
Okay.
Listen to this recording. 5 things. This is 5 weeks. This is how much. Boom, boom, boom. And then if people are like, well, what do you mean? Like we talk about this, it's like, oh, it's different for every client. You know, some need some support, but you behind the scenes will be keeping the boundary.
Right.
Now here's the tip. When a client, when you have a business where you allow people to ask you questions like in between meetings or sessions, the big fear is like, oh shit, this person's going to be like bombarding me with emails or, but when that starts to happen, sometimes it will, sometimes people are super respectful of like, I don't want to bother you, but I have this one thing to ask.
Right.
That's great. But some people aren't aware even of how much they're trying to communicate. That's their communication style. They just like fire whatever's off the top of their head. But anyway, whenever you sense for any reason, this is too much,
mm-hmm.
that's when you, as the professional service provider, goes to them and goes, we need to talk about something.
Right.
Because it seems like you're asking me, you're not confident in your own decision-making.
Yeah.
You know, you're asking me for every little thing. And it wouldn't be really serving you well. I'm not here for every little question.
Well,
like, if you want me here for that, you can pay me another $3,000.
So can I have a follow-up about that? Because what I realized with this most recent dude is something that I think I will continue to run into is like, because the business is ultimately them paying for my taste,
mm-hmm.
talked about before, and the built-in setup is that they're like, I don't trust mine, so I need yours, Helen.
Yeah.
Right. But then you get into it with them and they want to trust theirs. And really what they want is validation for theirs.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And they're wrong.
Yeah.
So not always, but mm-hmm. often you can't have a gray walls, a gray couch, a gray rug, and a gray chair and a gray pillow. I can't with the gray.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I'm just clocking that, like, I'm going to have this I'm going to need to practice wording and around, like, I think my mindset has been like, oh, you are asking me for a service. I'm trying to figure out what services I offer. Maybe what I offer is just like in reaction to what you need, as opposed to like, this is what I offer.
Correct.
Deal with it.
I think just the vibe I'm getting from you, I think you'll have a lot more fun if it's like, oh, I act in reaction to you.
Oh,
I'm helping you do this project.
Yeah.
And I would say to them, the in-between conversation, like the in-between access to you is yes or no questions or multiple choice. You can ask me a question. I can go yes, no, or which of these three pillows?
Right.
B. Yeah. That is how quick, because what, you know, what else are you talking about? Like, that's how quick, yes or no questions, multiple choice. Now, setting those boundaries means that every once in a while, there'll be room for a more nuanced conversation, or like, let's discuss this, or here's my reasons why. But
that part is what I've gotten into, where I'm like, I have to like find a way to gently tell you that you can't have all gray everything in your living room.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're fighting me because you just bought this rug without consulting me. Mm-hmm. And I need to tell you why the rug is ugly, like in terms that make sense to you.
Mm-hmm. So okay.
There's like a slight, it's not just like back, it's not just backing up my own reasons. It's also like, if you're going to be somebody who's going out and just buying shit, at least have a little bit of education. So let me try and educate you on like why we're doing it this way.
You can totally give that whenever you feel like giving it. I just don't want you to spend so much energy and time trying to teach something to someone who doesn't want to learn it.
Yeah.
And I don't want this, because it's a side business. If you were coming to me and go, how do I build a design business? We'd be having slightly different conversations, but this is a thing on the side that you're doing for cash. So it's not like you don't have the time and energy to invest in making sure that their apartment now has the Helen Highfield stamp of approval. Here's a showcase for my work.
Yeah. I've been wondering, like, should I be looking to have like portfolio clients, basically? No.
No. Why?
I don't know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you ever like want to make this into your full-time business, sure. But I just
assumed that was, especially because I was already having a hard time with the charging money and what to charge. I was mm-hmm. like, well, if not money, at least let me get photos. But maybe photos don't matter.
I just want you to get cash.
Okay.
I just want you to get cash. If you know you can help somebody.
Yeah.
Then help them without an investment of it being great and perfect and right and wonderful. I would suggest you take the approach of like, so what I'm hearing from you is you want a gray couch, gray walls, gray carpet, and gray pillows. I vote no on that.
Yeah.
But you get the deciding vote.
Right.
That's my vote. And then they may go, why? And then you can go in a sentence or two, explain the design concept behind that.
Right.
I vote no because blah, 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 too. You don't have to argue it. You don't have to restate it. You're like, that's no, that is my opinion. Like, that's not going to change. So we don't need, but you make the choice. And I will work with whatever. I will make the best. I think your business philosophy should be, I will make the best of whatever you decide.
Yeah.
Because you give me money.
Yeah.
So I'm here to validate or to help, whatever you want, in 5 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you'll just have more fun.
Yeah.
And I think you'll get people who, respond to that.
Yeah.
I think you need clients who want the bossy older sister who's just like, whatever, but okay. I'm not here to make you feel that. I'm just saying I would vote no.
Right.
Yeah. Try that. Okay. Try that. And I don't mean that, but try running this thing the way you would love to have it be.
Yeah.
Because let's see if the best case scenario works rather than thinking, oh, that won't work. So maybe I'll hodgepodge something, to cobble something together that kind of feels okay. It's like, yeah, let's go best case scenario. And then if it's just not working and in 12 months you never get a client, we'll look at your marketing before we even look at, is this offer not quite right? Because I think that's probably, I think there's dudes out there who are making enough money to pay you $2,000 to spruce up their place. And their moms will pay for it if they don't have the money.
That's cute.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great.
Yeah. And then, so at the beginning of each week, it's about asking yourself, okay, I don't want to overwhelm myself. So I have to find an action that's going to really move the needle, like a significant action that if it pans out would have, a real impact. For example, you sending out an email to everybody you know about you, this little biz, that is, if you do nothing else for your side business in a week, that's huge. Yeah. Because that could move the needle.
Right.
So then the question, you go down the list. What would be the most impactful thing I could do in the job search? What could be the most impactful thing with the side business this week? What about acting? What about writing? And maybe every week you pick 4 to-dos,
right?
4, in another analogy, the big rocks that right. You put in the jar first. Because if you do 4 needle moving activities on a weekly consistent basis, you will start to shift things in your life far faster than someone who does 50 non-needle moving activities in a week. And that's the difference. I've worked with clients who've had all the money, so they have all the time in the world, and they just fill it with nonsense versus a person who's like, I have a day job, so I have 4 hours to put towards this thing. But they make the most of those 4 hours. And not by squeezing the most into it, but by doing the most important things. And they are moving faster than that person with all the time and all the resources. Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I also liked what you had said about put money or put the time towards the thing that is like closest to getting the money, and allowing for Sarah, the acting and the writing to kind of, shift back and forth.
That as far as like what, yeah, the time. Sarah has, everyone has this much time for their career in a week. And then you just start dividing that pie up.
Right.
So your pie has what you said, like 4 sections to it.
Yeah.
And then you just sort of portion out. And those, it can change every week, the amount they get.
Mm-hmm.
Depending. But yeah.
Cool.
But your goal, what will help with the overwhelm, is if you are telling yourself stories about each of these things that make them sound fun. Like, why am I even writing? Why is that fun?
Yeah.
like, why would I, what do I want to do with acting in this weird year that would feel fun?
Yeah.
And satisfying. And then what in the design thing and what in the job search thing? Fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Cool. Thank you.
All right. I can't wait to hear about your first $2,000 client. And I would bet money that your $2,000 clients are going to be so much easier to work with than anybody you've worked with before.
Yeah.
Because they'll be taking you seriously. Yeah. And they'll be, you know, she's got rules, following the rules.
Yeah. People respond well to structure. Yeah.
Lydia, did you want to say something?
100%. Back when I was dog training, I like kept undercutting my rate for people. And it was the people that I gave huge discounts to that ran all over my time. But the people that like, I worked for a company that charged a very high rate and like we stuck to that rate, always so respectful, or not always, but like the majority were much more respectful and like took what I had to say seriously. Even though it was the same thing, but learned that lesson the hard way. So.
Yep, me too. I tried to do like discounted pro bono organizing work for good people and good causes. And it was always just like, this is a disaster. This is not, it just, Yeah. Cool, cool. We have like 12 minutes left. Anybody else? Floor's open. Sarah.
Hey, Christy.
Hey, Sarah.
How are you?
Good. I thought I would come on tonight because I've been thinking about, I'm really close to making six figures. I just need to make like $4,000 more a year. And I was like, my current job, I actually have cut back a lot. I just do 40 hours now for the most part. Yeah.
Who are you?
I'm not sure anymore.
Woman of boundaries. This is amazing.
I stopped asking who I am. I changed so much in like the past year. Like, I'm not sure. But I was just thinking, one thing that was disappointing with, we had a review cycle and I did not get a big raise. But I work in tech and they had said like, we didn't give everybody raises and we're giving you one because we appreciate you. And I'll be honest, like, I think that's actually true, but I'm still, definitely nosing around to see what other opportunities are out there. You know, 'cause I want to take from like a big pie. But in the meantime, while I'm trying to sort through all that, 'cause I do like the company, I was like, well, what can I do right now? And since I do social media and I have a background in email marketing, well, email fundraising, but it's like pretty much the same as email marketing. I was like, well, I could start up like a side hustle around that. And so I'm just kind of back to basics. I haven't read your when I first started the cash flow program, I read the whole PDF that you have. I'm going to go back and look at it, but I just wondered if you had any, like, a few actions I could take this week to, I don't know, or even just thinking about like, what am I going to actually do? Like what, you know, tell people I can consult on their social media or, I don't know. Anyway, I'm just trying.
So what will someone pay you $5,000 to do?
Yeah.
Yeah. That'll put you over the.
Yeah, I know. I can totally get there too. I could even charge, if I charge somebody like if I hit 4,000, I think that's $333 a month. I can totally like hit that. So if I could hit like $1,000 a month and that would put me over, that would be, so yeah, but I'm trying to like figure out, yeah, exactly. Like $5,000. I love this idea that Helen was talking about, like the, you know, five things, 5 weeks, $2,000. Like, oh, that would be a dream come true. Cause I'm thinking doing like a monthly fee to like run their social program. But honestly, like it's a lot. Yeah. It's like too much work to do that. And I don't have time because I have a full-time job. So this needs to be more of like a consulting thing. So I don't know. Tell me
what do people need that they would pay you $5,000 to do for them?
Right.
Set something up, get something up and running, like teaching them how to actually do it, condense something, create a thing, teach their person how to do something. Like, what is the pain point out there?
Right. Right. Yeah. I've talked to some people, and they hear I'm in social media and they're like, oh my God, like I need to get my social media. Like my social media sucks. And then I tell them what to do. This has just been with friends and I'm like, okay, well you need to do this. You need to do this. And I don't hear from them again, cause it's too much work for them. Right. It is too overwhelming, which I get. It is like, it is a lot of work actually. To run a social media account and actually grow it. So, I mean, that's my full-time job. So yeah.
So this probably won't be for just random individuals.
Yeah.
It's going to be for someone who has like a business or a problem or a business that has a problem. Like,
okay.
So what?
Yeah. Yeah. What, like somebody who already runs their social media account, but they just need like guidance or something like that.
Or what about people who are like running their social media thing and going, well, we're trying to like raise money through this, but it's not working.
Right.
Like, what are some of the problems that you know that people like, now I'm asking you, put your consultant hat on and it's like, oh gosh, they do this, they do this, and that's a waste of time. They do this, they're not doing this. Like, what are some of those things? Tell me.
They have shitty content. They don't understand how the algorithms work. So like, for instance, something that works on Twitter will not translate necessarily to Instagram. Another issue is like they don't optimize their bios. Like even bios are important, like to optimize your bio, but like also like specifically per channel, like your LinkedIn bio is going to be different from like your TikTok bio. Or, optimizing. I think like the biggest pain point, to be honest, is like specializing the content and your platform, like your profile to like the platform you're working on. And then also like, I see a big issue of it's like people try to spread themselves too thin. They think they need to be like everywhere, but like, you don't, you just have to master like one or two like channels and then master those channels and do really well. And then once you start growing those channels, because you can get also, like, the other thing is you can get your profile to the point where it's like a really well-oiled machine. And so, like, you could get it to where you're spending like an hour or two a week just busting out content. Like, you just sit down, you write the content, and then you can schedule it. Or if you want to schedule it every day, you can still take 5 minutes once a day to schedule it. But like, but I think that's like people's eyes get too big for their stomach. And then that it becomes too overwhelming and it all kind of falls apart. Cause then they're just like copying, pasting across like 5 different channels and it looks like crap.
And specifically regarding fundraising.
Yeah. Oh, what? Yeah. 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 You could do, so you can definitely do fundraising. I mean, it depends on what kind of business you're running, or if you're like a political candidate, like you can definitely leverage your social media to do different types of fundraisers. And you can also, like, for instance, Instagram has like a shop, so you can set up, like, a lot of political candidates, actually, I've noticed at least the local level, because they just don't have the capacity to like be social media whizzes, but they'll have they will not like use their Instagram to like promote, like, hey, buy my t-shirt, buy my yard signs, or whatever it is that they're selling, like, to have like a swag shop that you can also use channels to do that kind of thing for as well.
And do you think your, because people will pay you more if they think you're solving their problem in their particular lane. Like if I have 2 people to choose from, but this person's like, oh, I specialize in political candidates. It's like, well, I'm going to pick that person.
Yeah.
Because I think that they know my language.
Right.
So based on your background, what's the type of person that you think would have the capacity and the problem worth giving you $5,000 for? Is it a type of political candidate that you could best help, easiest help? Like what?
Actually, I'll be honest with the political candidates. I don't know if the pie is big enough to charge them $5,000. I mean, if it was like Biden or something, yeah, like, it's, you know, I could definitely, but I was actually, so now that I work in tech, I actually, it's been really great getting out of politics. I didn't realize how much I hated politics. Mm-hmm.
So then your first to do is to think of, who do I want?
Okay.
Help? Who do I want to become the social media? And you're not doing this on an ongoing basis for anybody.
Right.
It's a package.
Yeah.
That I think is probably going to be along the lines of, I'm glad you have someone on your team doing social media. Let me teach them how to do it right.
Yeah.
Most effectively. You've already got your person. That's great.
Yeah.
Some things that they need to know.
Yeah.
So it's something someone buys maybe for someone else to
look at.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
And who is this person? And it could be women, blah, 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 or male, blah, like whatever we can kind of narrow it down, however artificially.
Yeah.
And then it's like, it needs to be very clear. I do this, these are the results. This is how long you work with me, and it's 5,000 or whatever you want to.
Yeah.
Package.
Yeah.
Because
I would love to do 5,000.
What I heard you say is, if you earned $4,000, period,
right,
it puts you over the top. So you need 1 client a year, technically, at 5,000.
Yeah, I'll take it.
Yeah. Yeah, just one. So what's this enticing little thing that someone would hear about and go, that is my problem, and if she can solve that thing, I will give her $5,000.
Yeah. Yeah, or because I...
Right. 2,500 twice.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. also I want to say a win. I am not afraid to ask for $5,000 right now. That doesn't cause me any anxiety. I was like, that would not be the case a year ago. So, yeah, because I was scrolling through LinkedIn. I just saw it's 8:30. Anyway, I just was like, I just see a lot of people promote doing social media consulting. And I was like, why am I not doing this? Like, I would like some extra money.
So, and I want you to notice how blandly they see how many people are just like, I do social media.
Yeah.
Consulting. Like, what does that mean to me?
Right.
Yeah. But if you do it for, that's yeah. where people go, oh, I'll pick her.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Super exciting. And this may or may not be how you do your packages, but if you, it's easier to sell things if you can draw a straight line to somebody's bottom line.
Yeah. Yeah.
So fundraising, or there's tweaks that you can make for this, or yeah.
Okay. Okay.
So,
okay. Yeah. Yeah.
You guys have a great rest of the month. I'll be back here in April. Karen, Eileen, can you stick around just for a second?
Are you there? Yes, I can. Yes, great. Yes.
So just stick on, and because I have something to say.
Okay.
Otherwise, thanks, guys. Thanks, guys.